Colorado Springs this morning. Hope you're having a good day. If you will, join in as we sing, I Saw the Light.
So aimless, I feel with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow.
Lord in the sky. Your right living home.
household with your atmosphere, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Flood their households, Lord, today. God, I pray, Lord, that they would prepare their hearts, Lord, for what's about to be taking place here, Lord. Our pastor bringing the message that you've given him, Lord. Jesus, we just want to pray for those, Lord, that are in the hospitals today, God. Give them your hand of comfort. Pray for those, Lord, that are sick. Pray for those, Lord, that are recovering. Pray for those, Lord, that are going through problems, Jesus. You are our provider, you are our healer, you are our counselor, you are our guide. Thank you, Jesus. I ask all this in your name. Amen.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, I want to read one verse today, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I want us to think about the subject today. Are you waiting on God? Are you waiting on God? We start out with a question today. Why do trials come to my house? Why do trials come to your house? Why don't all things just stay the same? I'm sure somewhere in life you've probably asked yourself that question, why don't all things just stay the same? And it could be that you're saying right now, well, I have one trial after the next trial after the next trial. That would describe my life. And you may be saying, I've had those trials and trials and trials, and I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, and God seems to be way out yonder somewhere. He does not seem to hear me. He does not seem to care. He does not answer me. Have you been there? I'm sure you've been there somewhere in life, because we've all been there. Could it be that you're saying right now that the bad circumstance in my life right now outweighs the good circumstances? The bad circumstances in my life outweigh the good circumstances in my life. And I'm discouraged in my walk of faith to the point that I just want to give up. We've all been there. I just don't understand all that's happening to me in all the trials that's going on in my life. And I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, and God seems to be way out yonder. Folks, I want to remind you of something now. The Israelites faced the same thing. And rather than praising the Lord, they began to complain to God as if He did not know what was going on in their life. They saw a road ahead of them that looked dark. They saw a road ahead of them that just looked like they couldn't walk on it. And so they began to complain. They began to complain and as if to say they didn't have strength for the journey. My friend, God knew exactly how they felt, and He knows exactly how you feel right now in the circumstances in your life. But I want to remind you that He is able, and He is adequate, and He's faithful to meet the needs in my life and in your life. Isaiah 40, verse 31 reminds us, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I want you to notice one little word there, the word wait. How do you wait on God? How do you wait on God? The psalmist answered that. He said in Psalms 46 and 10, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." I don't know about you, but ours as a society, we have trouble being still. We have trouble of waiting. We have trouble understanding, because we always want to push things. I want to remind us today that waiting on God is an urgent necessity. It's an urgent necessity. It is essential that we wait on God. We are absolutely helpless without God. We can accomplish absolutely nothing without God. Matter of fact, we are nothing without God. Before God, human strength is only a weakness. Yes, they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 30 and verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for Him." Blessed are they that wait for Him. Happy are they that wait for Him. We must not only think of waiting upon God, but also of what is more wonderful still, of God waiting on us. Oh, He wants to bless us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to use us. Listen to what Isaiah 40 and 31, I want to read it again, because I don't want to miss the message here. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. My friend, waiting on God is of urgent necessity. Also, waiting on God should be done in a becoming manner. We must wait on God patiently. We must wait on God patiently. Psalms 37 and 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." We must wait upon God quietly, quietly. It's in those quiet times and in those quiet moments of our life when we're meditating and we're totally concentrating on God that God ministers to us. Habakkuk 2 and 20, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Ours is a society that has a hard time waiting, and ours is a society that has a hard time keeping silence before Him. But keeping silence before Him is when He truly ministers to us, and when He teaches us to wait on Him, and He truly teaches us things that He wants us to know. Listen, when you and I meet His fate, when we meet Him face to face, I believe we'll be silent. One day you and I will meet Him face to face. And I believe we're going to be overwhelmed with what we see and the holiness that we get to observe in Him. My friend, we must wait upon God expectantly. How in the world is that done? That's done by faith. Believe in God and what He says He'll do. Believe in God and what He says He will do. We must wait upon God courageously. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then, beloved, waiting upon God should be a constant exercise of the soul. Waiting on God should be a constant exercise of the soul. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6, therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God. How? Wait on thy God continually. We must wait upon God in the light of the day, and we must wait upon God in the darkness of the night. My friend, light not walked in will soon turn to darkness. Light not walked in will soon turn to darkness. We must wait upon God in times of darkness. Those dark times come in our life, and we must wait upon God, and we must wait upon God. Listen to what Isaiah 8:17 says, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth His face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for Him. Well, how does that apply to you and I? How does that apply to the generation that you and I live in? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So often we fail to go to God with the labor that's in our heart, with the struggles that's in our life. Sometimes we just want to grab a hold of things and manage it on our own, but God wants us to bring it to Him, and He wants to manage it for us. Yes, ours is a time when God's people need to wait. Ours is a time when God's people need to rest. Is there a need of rest for our generation? Is there a need of rest for our generation? David said in his unrest, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. Oftentimes, you and I feel the same way. We want to escape it all. And so Jesus is saying, come unto me, and you'll find rest in me. Does Jesus have the ability to give rest? My, what a question. Does Jesus have the ability to give rest? Listen to me. He had the ability to create the world. And He had the ability to heap up the mountains. And He had the ability to scoop out the seas. And He has the ability to calm the raging storms in our life. And He has the ability to quiet the wave of the sea. And my friend, God has the ability for us to rest, and He wants us to rest. Surely He has the ability to give us rest. Who does He invite to rest? Who does He invite to rest? Those who are burdened with a load of sin. Jesus says, come unto me, and I will cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. Yes, who does He invite to rest? Those who sin against the holy God. My friend, the Bible says all men are sinners and come short of the glory of God. Who does He invite to rest? Those who are burdened with sorrow. Earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Oh, who does He invite to rest? Those with doubt and unbelief. Those with doubt and unbelief. Thomas was a doubter that's identified in the Scripture. And when he came into the presence of Jesus, his doubts flew away. And my friend, when you and I come into the presence of Jesus, our doubts will fly away. Jesus says, come unto me, I will give you rest. He didn't say come to the church building, even though it's important that we do that. He did not say come to the priest or come to the pastor or to the bishop. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He's still saying that right now. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Have you done that? Have you done that? It is one thing to wait upon the Lord. It is quite another to wait for him. It's one thing to wait upon him, and it's quite another to wait for him. As we wait on him, we are changed in his likeness. As we wait for him in patience, we are delivered from worry and fretfulness, knowing that God is never late. You ever thought about that? We serve a God that's always on time. He's never late. He knows every circumstance in my life. He knows what's going on in my home. He knows what's going on in the church I pastor. He knows what's going on in your home. And my friend, he's never late. He's always on time. Praise the Lord for that. He's an on-time God. Are you waiting on God? Are you waiting on God? Are you resting in him? Do you know him as your Savior? If you do not know him as your Savior, you need to settle that matter today. And you may be saying, well, why do I need to settle that matter today? Beloved, let me remind you, today's all you have. You may not see another sunrise. As a matter of fact, you and I may not see another sunset. The answer is, my friend, why do I need to get this matter settled today? Because I am a sinner and you are a sinner. The Bible says, for all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you and I. The Bible also said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The payment of sin is death, both physical and spiritual. Man will die. My friend, God offers salvation to man through his son Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross and who arose again on the third day. The Bible also says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you saved? Are you saved? You can be saved right now, right where you are. Just pray this prayer with me. Pray with me. Dear God, repeat after me. Dear God, I am a sinner. I repent of my sin. Dear God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and that he arose on the third day. Dear God, right now, I ask you to save my soul. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I thank you for doing just that because I've asked you. Thank you for saving my soul right now. My friend, if you prayed that prayer believing, listen, you're saved. You're saved. Now, what do you need to do once you're saved? Find a local New Testament church and get involved in that church. Make it public that you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Follow through with baptism and serve him in the church the remainder of your days. This is Brother Don Harding, pastor of Colorado Springs Baptist Church, Caledonia, Mississippi. If you have spiritual needs, we'd love to talk with you. Our phone number is 662-356-6037. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.